is so wonderful, if you ever feel him, you'll never be happy until you feel him again. If you ever hear him, you'll never be happy until you hear him again. If you ever see him, you'll never be happy until you see him again. If you're ever in his presence, you'll never be happy until you're in his presence again. If you ever taste him, you'll never be happy until you taste him again. Hallelujah. That's the God I serve. Come on, touch someone beside you and say, that's what I'm talking about, man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. In Acts chapter 1, they came together. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost falls. In Acts chapter 3, the lame man's healed. Acts chapter 4, they're arrested and whipped and put in jail. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira falls dead. In Acts chapter 6, there's a number of priests that's added to the church. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen is stoned. In 8, Samaria is converted. In 9, Paul is converted. In 10, the door to the Gentiles is open. In 11, they're called Christians. That don't sound like dead, dry form of religion to me. That sounds like a church is high on Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I have spoken in several church growth seminars. And the longer I live, the less I know. When I was young, I knew all there was to know. I could tell you who Melchizedek was and at what exact precise moment the rapture was going to take place. At what part of the tribulation period. Hallelujah. Come on. I can tell you how many scabs was on Lazarus' blanket and sell it to you if you wanted it bad enough. But the older I get, the less I know. Hallelujah. Except Jesus Christ and him crucified. But church growth, the principle of church growth is as you go back to the peer group that God saves you from and you become a witness to the peer group that God saves you out of. If you're Hispanic, you go back to the Spanish brothers. If you're African-American, you go back to the black people. If you're a businessman, you go back to some little dorky businessman's deal with a sack lunch. If you're fat, you go back and witness to fat folks. Hallelujah. Well, we could have a revival on this platform, couldn't we? Hallelujah. If you're an ex-con, you go back to the ex-con. Just no mistake that I happen to be the National Chaplain for Prison Ministry. They didn't get me that because I'd done so good in Sunday school class. But God operates differently. See, Paul was intellectual. If Paul was alive today, he'd have a Phi Beta Kappa Key and be a Rhodes Scholar and a Harvard graduate. So God said, okay, Paul, you go to those dumb Gentiles. Peter, he's ignorant and unlearned. It testifies to that in the Bible. It said, you go to those intellectual Jews, the greatest minds that ever lived. Why? Because when God puts you in a situation you can't handle in your flesh, only the anointing can do it. Hallelujah. And God's put us in a situation in these last days that only the anointing is going to get us out of here. Come on, only the anointing is going to get us out of here. Only the anointing is going to get us out of here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Love you. Appreciate the goodness of God. Good to be with brother and sister Baxter. He always challenges my mind. And she loaned me some Jerusalem Post to read. And she said, I want them back. Don't let anything happen to them. So I got in the car tonight and I said, somebody broke in the room, Sister Baxter, and stole all those Jerusalem Post. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ain't it fun having the Holy Ghost? He said you could be spiritual. Laughter is spiritual. Come on. And we got some people look like they've been baptized in persimmon juice. Or I've seen happier faces on iodine bottles. Wonder why the world don't want what they got. The world's miserable enough. They don't need some dead, dry, formal church apologizing for the power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. He was talking about going to death row in prison. And is that you or your brother? Or your brother visited you when you was in prison. Is that it? Hallelujah. And I was leaving prison one day. I'd been down to Arkansas State Prison. I had to check in at 6 o'clock in the morning. It's an hour and a half drive. My car, my money, my time. left a real woman to go down there to see those guys. And I'm down there witnessing, talking, and I start to leave, and I meet a little woman about that tall in the gate. I had five gates to get out of. And she looked at me, and she said, "Oh, thank God, are you a preacher?" And I said, "Oh, thank God, yeah, Mama." And she said, "Are you leaving?" I said, "I'm doing my best." I said, The chicken buffet starts at noon. I like to catch it when it's hot and fresh." Hallelujah. She said, "You can't leave." And I said, "I can." She said, "No, my son's going to the electric chair in 3 days. And I want you to go down and talk to him." She said, "I can't stand to see him go into eternity without meeting a preacher." So I said, "Lady," and a big old tear just pushed out and started down her face. And I'd rather have the mafia and the communist party after me than a mama that knows how to pray. I said, "Okay." I told the guard up on the gate. I said, "Hey, boss, open up. I'm coming back." He said, "Would you make up your mind, chaplain?" I said, "You just stay up there and make the minimum wage and leave all the cerebral stuff down here." And I walked up there, and there's no way they could have known I was coming. And I beat on the you call it East Buildings, death row, where they have the electric chair. You get to choose either the electric chair or lethal injection. Hallelujah. Chaplain asked me one day, he said, "If you had to choose your mode of death, how would you choose?" And I said, "I'd like to live to be 110 and get electrocuted hooking up my VCR, man." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they're searching me, feeling through my hair, and some of us said, "You got to check." Hallelujah. Some of you can just look. And feeling in the top, I wear these Sansevieria slacks, these stretch deals all of us fat preachers wear. And while he's searching me, all of a sudden somebody screams out down on death row, "Leave us alone, Mahaney." That guy looks at me and said, "How in the name of God did he know you was coming?" And I said, "There's some men known in the courts of heaven and in the courts of hell." They said, "You want a raincoat?" And I said, "I don't need a raincoat." I went down and talked to a man that had taken a .44 Magnum, had shot a 23-year-old highway patrolman in the face and blew his head off, had taken the patrolman's unborn baby, cut it from her body, offered it as a sacrifice to Satan, ground up four teenagers in a meat grinder. Other than that, he was a very nice gentleman. And I walked up to the bars to witness to him. I said, "Hey, Swindler, your name is John Edward Swindler." And he was under death sentence in Arkansas, and then when they killed him in Arkansas, they was going to take him to South Carolina and kill him. And I said, "Hey, Swindler." And he says, "That's you, you fat preacher." And I said, "Yeah." And I got down, and he spit on me. Just a big old goober just hit and just landed on my coat and just kind of quivered when it hit there. And boy, the old Mahaney rose up. And I wiped it off, and I'll tell you what, I got flesh to fight. I'm not perfect. You think I'm perfect, but I'm not. And I said, "Let me tell you something, sucker. They're going to put you in the electric chair, and I'm going to be somewhere praying, more power to you." I said, "In fact, I'm going to ask you to hold a TV dinner on your lap so I can have a hot meal on the way home. I come down here, and you talk about me and cuss me and spit on me and talk about my mama." I said, "Shalom Aleichem." When I turned around, God spoke to me and said, "Don't you walk away. I died for him on the cross, too." I preached about 45 minutes, took 9 of those men on death row, baptized them in Jesus' name. I think 8 of them come out of the water speaking in tongues. And when they give him lethal injection, they put the needle into his arm. He was quoting the scripture, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." I was glad that Jesus went to Calvary for somebody like John Edward Swindler. Hallelujah. And it bugs me when these young people say, "Well, I've been too bad. I smoked a little doobie or looked at a Playboy magazine or something. God won't forgive me." Ah, garbage. Hallelujah. He forgave a man that killed 12 people, baptized in Jesus' name, and the mercy of God reaches out to whosoever will. Hallelujah. Praise God. You getting comfortable? Well, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I preached at a crusade one night, and the guy said, he didn't know I was a speaker. He said, "I went to hear that preacher last night, and I had to stand to hear him." And I said, "Yeah, I'm standing most of the time when I hear him." Hallelujah. Exodus 28. Exodus 28. I appreciate so much this church and Brother and Sister Baxter's and all the people that work with End Time and your input into trying to turn and shake the body of Christ in these last days. Hallelujah. 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 He may not come after the 70. I don't know, but I don't want to argue with him about it. He studies it too much. Had a guy tell me, he said, you know why you and Jeff Arnold? I said, nobody can say things in the pulpit like you and Jeff Arnold. Only you and Jeff Arnold. He said, because you guys are both insane. And nobody wants to argue with an insane man and embarrass herself. Hallelujah. But nobody wants to embarrass herself because he studies that stuff and the rest of us don't study that much. We study, but I don't know who the third toe on the left foot of Daniel's Colossus is and what the callus on the thumbnail is. And he does. Hallelujah. Exodus 28, verse 31. When you got it, say we got it, Brother Charlie. And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue, and there shall be a hole in the top of it. Everybody say, In the midst thereof it shall be a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of a habergeon, that it be not rent. And I want you to turn to Matthew 26. Hallelujah. Verse 65. Well, you turn and say the priest's garment, the ephod, was all of blue, went from the neck to the ankles, had a hole in the middle of it, so he could put his big head through there. Hallelujah. Then I want you to notice the 65th verse. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. I want to preach a little while tonight on the New Testament priesthood. The New Testament priesthood. You may be seated. God bless you all. Hallelujah. Come on, let's wake up now like we was a while ago. We was up here singing and boogieing. Hallelujah. See, the garment, the ephod of the priest went from the neck down to the ankles. Heard a man preaching one night about David out there dancing naked before the maidens of Israel. He wasn't dancing naked. God's a kosher God. He wouldn't even put the manna down until he put dew down first. God's a kosher God. Come on, David wasn't out there boogieing in his BVDs or the fruit of the looms. Hallelujah. And that ephod went from the neck to the ankles, and it had a hole in it where he could put his head through it. And around the hole was what they called a habergeon. It was like a turtleneck. Anybody here ever wear a turtleneck? I don't wear them because I can't keep the neck up on them. Hallelujah. And it was because if he tore it, or it tore while the priest was wearing that ephod, then the priest that was in office had to step away, and the next priest stepped in to take the place of the priest that had been there. Then Leviticus 10 said, Moses said unto Aaron and to Eleazar, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest you die. Come on, everybody say they couldn't tear the garment. Leviticus 21, and he that is a high priest upon whose head the anointing oil was poured and that is consecrated shall not uncover his head nor rend his clothes. When the garment was torn, the priest stepped away and the next priest stepped in. Hallelujah. Come on, we're New Testament priests tonight. God's called us to offer spiritual sacrifices. You see, the veil of the temple in Jesus' day, that veil was almost 4 inches thick, and it hung 60 foot straight up and came down. And you could put 4 yoke of oxen on either side of it, and you couldn't tear that veil. And that veil was called the hem of God's garment. And when Jesus died on the cross, God ripped that veil open from the top to the bottom. Come on, hallelujah. I said, God ripped that veil open from the top to the bottom. You know why? There was a New Testament priesthood coming. It wasn't the Levitical priesthood anymore. It was the Melchizedek priesthood that would offer him spiritual sacrifices. That's why when they gamble for the garments of Jesus, they actually gamble for his tallit and his prayer shawl, the 613 mitzvot, the fringes and the tzitzis on the end of it, but they couldn't tear it because God's given us a priesthood that can't be torn away from us. Come on, hallelujah. John said we're a nation of kings and priests. Peter said we're a royal priesthood. Come on, we're called to offer spiritual sacrifices unto God. Now, three things had to happen. Listen, there's no place in human history that you can put your finger that the Jewish people have not impacted human history somewhere in that time. Come on, the Bible I preach out of is a Hebrew Bible. The family I'm a part of is called Mishpachah. It's the family come from the Jews. The one God I worship is a Jewish Jesus. Come on. The baptism we take part in, it's not Christian oriented. It's the mikvah in the Old Testament. The reason we don't have polio is because a Jewish man gave us the salt vaccine. Come on. Everything that's blessed us has made in Israel stamped on it. I didn't know this the other day. I read that all three of the Three Stooges were Jewish. Come on. That Curly and Moe, that were brothers, their father was a rabbi. And they've been a blessing to me a lot of times. I didn't know this, but about 40 years ago, Brother Lumpkin, our former district superintendent, baptized one of the Three Stooges in Jesus' name. I said, please tell me it was Curly. He said, why? I said, I'd love to have been there when you said Curly. It was Curly. He baptized Curly in Jesus' name. I said, I'd like to have been there. He said, why? I said, when you said Curly, you want to be baptized in Jesus' name, he'd say, why, certainly. Hallelujah. See, under the Old Testament, it was kings and priests. Under the New Testament, it's a royal priesthood. Come on, we're a priest before God. We've got a right to speak some things in the heavenly place, and we've got a right to speak some things in the earthly place. I just assume cusses go around with a negative confession like most Pentecostals have. Come on. Well, I don't think I'm going to make it. You look at the one cat that's going to make it, Jack. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I think I'm taking the flu. I'm not. I'm taking good help. If I keep feeling better, they're going to have to lock me up at night somewhere. Hallelujah. Well, I don't think I'm going to make it financially. You're looking at one night guy that's going to make it financially. Say, how do you know? I'm going to pray. God's going to talk to him. Hallelujah. We need to learn to speak some things. Come on, we need to learn to speak positive into our kids. I was preaching in a prison a while back, and I said, how many of you men here did your parents tell you you was going to end up in prison growing up? Almost every one of those men, their parents had given them a prophecy that they had felt like they had to fulfill in their life. You need to tell your kids you're going to be apostolic. You're made for the rapture. You're not like those kids out there. Come on, you're different. You don't need rock music. You don't need drugs. You don't need Hollywood. You're different. We need to speak as priests into our family. When I was into the rock group Kiss and we was on television, they asked me, said, are you against the music played backwards? I said, I'm against it backwards, sideways, upside down. However you play it, when they tell our girls to give themselves to their boyfriends, it's okay. Tell our boys it's okay to be queers. Come on. We need to speak something into our families. I said, we need to speak something into our families. I walked into two Sunday school rooms in the church where I was preaching, and I was trying to find the prayer room. And I walked into one Sunday school room, and there was just a real funny feeling in there. And there was a guy, I said, what's been going on in this room? He said, well, there's a new guy prayed through, said that, He's prayed through and backslid and prayed through and backslid and prayed through and backslid. And we were just talking about him, that he's not going to make it. And I said, let me out of here. And I walked in the prayer room, and there was such an overcoming, beautiful spirit. And I said, what are you doing? And they said, and a guy said, me and this guy's agreeing on the guy that prayed through the other night that he's been in and out and in and out, but we're agreeing, we're speaking into his life that he's going to make it this time. Come on, hallelujah. Come on. We need to learn to speak some things. If you bind it on earth, God will recognize it in heaven. The arena of binding takes place right here on earth. Hallelujah. Come on, we're kings and priests, and we need to learn to speak some things. You see, three things had to transpire when a new king, when a new priest was inaugurated. Number one is he had to take off that ripped garment. And in fact, by the time Jesus came, and we read about it in Matthew, the 26th chapter, they had the habergeon on, but they had a coat of mail, a piece of metal that they had around there so it couldn't accidentally be tore. And Caiaphas had to reach up under that thing and tear that. And the first thing that happened is you had to have hands laid on you when you became the new priest that would step into the order of the old priest. You hang on, we're going to be slam dancing in the aisle here in a minute. I just want you to know what you're booking about. Hallelujah. I came in the days of Pentecost when we'd cast demons out of people and the pastor would warn people, if you're not right with God, you better clear out of here. You better get covered in the blood. Because when those spirits leave, they're going to hunt something to get into. Come on. We used to cast them out. Now we just cast them from one backslider to the next. Hallelujah. Come on. I remember we used to cast the devil out and keep the man. Now we cast the man out and keep the devil. Come on. But I came in the days when we spoke some things. Come on, I said we spoke some things. You know why? You know 0.2% of the world's population is Jewish. I'm going to brag on our people a little bit, Brother Eddie. Hallelujah. God brags on them, so we might as well. 0.2% of the world's population is Jewish. Out of 0.2%, not 2% or 10%, but out of 0.2%, 80% of your doctors, your lawyers, your college professors, your bankers, your entertainment industry, your philharmonic performers, your Pulitzer Prize winners, your Nobel Prize winners, 80% are Jewish out of a 0.2% population. You know why that is? Because at Shabbat on Friday evening, they lay hands on those kids and they speak what those kids are going to be. They line out the agenda by their blessing what they're going to be. We need to learn to lay hands on some things and speak to it. See, we're New Testament priests. We're New Testament priests. Did you know that they've isolated the Y chromosome at Hadassah University in Israel now, and they have pinpointed the Levitical tribe? Come on. I wonder what happened if God would do DNA on some of us. Come on. I've got a heavenly father. Hallelujah. I'm not born for this earth. That's why nothing in this world holds my interest very long. Come on. I go fishing. I went fishing a while back, and a guy, I couldn't catch anything. I'll be honest with you. I'm not much of a woodsman or a hunter. I was preaching down in Lake Charles when I first started evangelizing, and I was preaching for Brother Merle Ewing. And Brother Merle and I went out that night, and we had two or three steaks, and we was both on a diet, Brother Merle said, Bubba, he's so sweet. He said, Bubba, some of the men are going to take you fishing in the morning. I said, Merle, I don't want to go fishing. Yeah, he said, they'll be disappointed if they don't take you. And I said, I don't want to go. He said, yeah, you want to go. I said, what time are they going to pick me up? He said, 4:00. I said, well, we won't be back in time for church. He said, I mean in the morning, Bubba. 4:00 already. Not even daylight. It got down to about 30 degrees and all I had was a sport jacket and slacks. Out there, and I was shaking and knocked the crickets over in the boat center trying to shake and put a cricket on the hook. I looked at the men. I said, take me home. I said, I can go to Kroger and buy fish, man. I don't need to. They said, it's better when you catch it. It tastes better when you catch it. And I said, good God, when I want a hamburger, I don't stalk a cow, man. Hallelujah. I'm not a woodsman. But I know this, that when you speak it, it happens. I took my grandson fishing, and he was sitting there, couldn't catch anything. I said, watch this, son, in Jesus' name. And it hit the water, no more hit the water, and the bass took that plug under. So, are you kidding me? No. If I tell you a rooster dips under, dips snuff, look under his wing for the can, buddy. Hallelujah. My grandson came in and said, Papa, he said, I want to talk to you. And I said, you didn't touch the mezuzah when you came in the door. You need to touch the mezuzah and say the Shema. And he said, okay, Papa. And he said, the Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. And I said, no, it's not Echad. I said, you see, Echad. He said, I can't get that down. Hallelujah. I said, you don't get the lounge till you get the He walked out, I heard him out there going, Hallelujah. And I said, come here, let Papa touch you. You know, the blessing of blessing is Numbers, the sixth chapter, where it says, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And you know, it's got 60 letters because it's typical of the 60 soldiers that stood around Solomon's bed and guarded him while he was asleep at night from the dangers of the night. We need to put a blessing over our homes. Come on. Come on. We don't need the spirit of Hollywood in our homes. We don't need those soap operas. You watch your soap operas, you're backslid as a goose. Hallelujah. Come on, we don't need that, John. We need the blessing of God on our home. I said, we're priests. We need to call some things. And when I came to an altar, see, laying on the hands is not just a practice with us. It's a doctrine with us. Come on. Something happens when hands are laid on. There's an impartation that goes from the one putting hands on to the one receiving the impartation. Hallelujah. Come on. And when we lay hands, I remember when I came to the altar, there's spirits that you don't have to cast out that cling to people. When I came to the altar, I had spirits bugging me. I slept in a coffin at night, and I wore a black cape, and sleeping in graveyards, and freaking old ladies out. There were spirits that tormented me. Spirits that had made me hate people that wasn't like I was. Violent spirits. Conning spirits. I used to sell elevator tickets in one-story buildings. I'd leave the house tomorrow. I'd say, bye, Mama. She'd say, sell, Charlie. Hallelujah. And there were spirits that didn't have to be cast out of me. When I made my way to an altar and I repented and the blood touched my life, there's spirits that hung around that automatically left. And then Pastor Stanford reached over and grabbed me by the head and began to rebuke spirits. And the elders around me began to rebuke spirits. Hallelujah. And those spirits left. You know why they was laying hands on me? Because hands has got to be laid on before you can be a New Testament priest. Then you had to go through mikvah. You had to go through a ceremonial dipping. Every Jew goes through that purification that before they can go into Pesach and Shavuot and Sukkot, all the feasts. They have to go through that dipping. A woman goes through it every 28 days in her life. You have to go through that cleansing, that dipping. And the preacher took me down, baptized me in Jesus. The guy just before me, he said, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Brought him up. And he said, you're next, Mahaney. So I climbed in there, and he said, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and just put me down and help me. And I'm laying there under the water, and it's going through my mind, that guy wasn't under here but about a second. I've been under here probably a minute and a half down. He's just holding me there. And I thought, in a minute, he's going to bring me up, and I'm laying there. And I'm thinking, good God, I wish that had brought me a straw like the old Tarzan movies, you know. Hallelujah. Finally brought me up. And I said, why did you hold me down so long? He said, you needed to stay under there longer than anybody I've ever seen. Come on. And then you know what he done? He laid hands on me and that anointing came onto my life. Come on. Hallelujah. You know what? God was bringing me into the New Testament priesthood. The Jewish people. Come on. The greatest religious minds that ever lived. God ripped it out of their hand and said, I'm going to take your kingdom and give it to the Gentiles until you cry, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I got the Holy Ghost. Come on. God spoke to me. I got the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, say hallelujah. And I said, hallelujah.
What did I just say? But God took a word, a heavenly word, put it in my mind, and I spoke it out. Let me show you something. Everybody say Baruch. No, Baruch Hashem. Now nobody here was sitting there thinking about it. Eddie knew what it meant, but nobody here was sitting thinking Baruch Hashem. But a man put that in your mind and told you to speak it, and you spoke it out. That's the way you get the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit puts a word in your mind, and you speak it out when the Holy Spirit puts it in your mind. Come on, if you can obey a man, why can't you obey God? Hallelujah. I can tell you, lift your hands, you lift your hands. I can tell you to worship God, but and you'll obey a man, and the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You get stammering lips, and what you need to do is speak whatever it sounds like. It don't matter how crazy it sounds. You're not going to understand it already. Hallelujah. And God poured His anointing into my life. I spoke in other tongues. I spoke in tongues all the way home. I spoke in tongues all night laying in the bed. I got up the next morning. Used to get up and light a cigarette and get me a beer and a drink of whiskey. But I was talking in tongues. Hallelujah. Come on, got up the next day. My wife and I got together and we talked in tongues together. I got in the car talking in tongues. Went and got me a job. Never had a job before. I went to work talking in tongues. Come on. I was nuts. We'd go to the grocery store and I'd meet somebody and I'd speak in tongues for them. Hallelujah. I met a guy that didn't believe in tongues. He said, "Well, you speak in tongues for me?" And I said, "Sure. Homo sapiens who reside in crystallized domiciles should hesitate to project projectiles through the atmosphere, and I hesitate to articulate lest I deviate from this present course of rectitude and I inundate you with a bunch of homespun and simple platitudinous colloquialisms." I said, "What did I say?" He said, "I don't have any idea." I said, "If you can't understand English, how can you understand tongues, chump?" Hallelujah. I was nuts. My wife wanted me to get saved, but she didn't want me to get saved as bad as I got saved. I got her up on the bus stop. I preached and then introduced her. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. We went out to eat. I prayed and we ate and then I preached and introduced my pastor. Hallelujah. Come on. There was anointing in my life that delivered me from alcohol, drugs. It delivered me from satanic oppression. It delivered me from bitterness. You know why? He wants praise from a priest that could come before Him. Come on. I'm talking about priests before God. I'm talking about priests before God. I'm talking about priests before God. You know when Samson went out and killed that lion? Samson went out and that lion jumped him. He killed that lion, man. And he came back later, and the bees had built a comb and put some honey in that carcass. And Samson reached in and got two handfuls of honey. And he brought it home to his family. He didn't make an announcement, "I was out here and I whipped this lion." He just shared what he had won in secret with the ones that needed to be shared to. Come on, our victory is not what we brag about. It's the enemies we confront personally. Then when we get into service, we got an awesome power on us to praise Him and worship Him. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. I love the God that I serve. There's no devil in the first two chapters of the Bible and no devil in the last two chapters of the Bible. Come on. He spends all that time getting the devil out so we can have freedom to worship. And you know what? Priests need to speak a word and put the devil on the run. See, Jairus came. Now, Jesus is so neat. Everybody say, "God, you're so cool." Hallelujah. I'm trying to get over that stuff. But when I first got in church, I told my pastor, I said, "Rev, I want to tell you something." When I found out you didn't call the pastor Rev, I said, Rev, I really dug your message. It was far out. It was cool. He said, "Let me tell you something, Mahaney." He said, "You're in the church now and I'm your pastor. Don't you ever, as long as you live, call me Rev. And you don't appreciate, you don't dig my sermons, you appreciate them. And they're not far out, you enjoy them." He said, "I don't want no more of that hippie talk." I said, "I put $100 in the offering." He said, "Cool, man. Hallelujah. had a buddy of mine that was raised in church. He was one of these wimps that didn't want to live for God. I don't understand people raised in this and want to leave it, leave their heritage. Good God Almighty, hallelujah. I searched all my life for this. First time I ever rolled up a doobie in a zigzag paper, I was trying to find this. First time I ever loaded up a needle and shot drugs, I was trying to find this. Come on, first time I ever climbed on a Harley Davidson fat boy and rode along and with the barbarians, I was trying to find this. And then kids raised in this and walk out and don't want it. Come on, they don't want the priesthood. You know what you're doing? You're tearing your garments away so I can come in and have a priesthood. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And this boy was raised in church, prayed through the same night I did. Had long hair, and his dad, he come to his dad and said, "Dad, I want a car for graduation." He was a little younger than I was. He was graduating. I was already married. Nothing wrong with education. The happiest 5 years of my life was the eighth grade. Hallelujah. He told his dad, said, "Dad, I want a car for graduation." He said, "If you'll get your hair cut, I'll help you get a car." Came back to his dad a couple days later and said, "I've been looking at some pictures," said, "Jesus had long hair." His dad said, "Yeah, and he walked everywhere he went to." Hallelujah. I'm a priest. Come on, I'm a priest. Touch the one beside you. Say, "That's what I'm talking about. I am a priest before God." Hallelujah. Well, I feel the anointing on this place. It's hot in here, and I'm sweating like seven goats jumping rope. Hallelujah. The two most lethal things in the world is anthrax and this microphone. Hallelujah. But I feel an anointing in this place. I feel somebody's ready to speak something. Come on, we need to speak something that God's been waiting to give. Richmond, Indiana, as priests, we need to speak it into existence. Well, you don't know what we've been through, Brother Mahaney. You don't know what he went through, that we could be the priests and speak revival into our families and our city. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, I'm telling you something, friend. We are priests before God. I remember the last time I came through the Temple Institute where they're doing the garments. Chaim Richmond was there. I was there when they had just a little old room, and we took Brother Lott in there to negotiate for the sale of the red heifer cattle. I learned one thing. You say, "Too much." Too much when you're dealing with it. My cousin went to my Uncle Isaac and said, "Dad, I need $30. He said, "$20, what are you going to do with $10? Here's five." Hallelujah. But they were showing us the garments that the Kohanim was going to wear. Loom. The Navajo Indians taught them how to loom, use the looms. The mitre that said, "Kodesh La Hashem," holiness unto the Lord. I was standing there and I leaned over to Jerry Wayne Dillon. I said, "Jerry, wait till they see my priest's outfit." Hallelujah. See, we're not Levitical priests. See, people get the law mixed up. There's a difference between Torah and Halakha. Torah is to the Jews. It's the law of Shabbat, the Sabbath. It's the law of kosher. There's certain food we don't eat, because it's not kosher. And God said, "I don't want my natural people to eat this." And he was showing us that every one of those animals had an attitude he didn't want to get in his spiritual people. Come on. He said, "Don't eat a mule." Why? Because a mule's backwards about going forward. Don't eat an owl. An owl will sit on a limb and push every other owl off the limb until he's the only owl left on a limb. Hallelujah. Don't eat an ostrich. Why? An ostrich has wings and won't fly, and there's something about that that bugs God. See, in the Old Covenant, we say Old Testament, New Testament, it's actually the Bible. Hallelujah. But in the Old Covenant, God said, "I want you to look different. I want you to live different. I want you to eat different." Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Praise God. You guys wouldn't be discussing while I was preaching, would you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why would you only get a grizzly bear and torment him with a stick or something? Hallelujah. But God wants a people with a kosher spirit. We're not Levitical priests. We don't have to keep Shabbat, Sabbath. We don't have to keep kosher. Come on, we keep Sabbath in essence that He is our Sabbath. Hallelujah. Come on. If I was just going to be religious, I'd have went to the synagogue tonight. If I was going to be religious, I'd have went to the synagogue. We'd have prayed over our family. My wife would have lit the Shabbat candles. And I'd have got my tallit, my yarmulke. And I'd have went to the shul. You call it synagogue, we call it shul. Hallelujah. And I would have went to the synagogue and prayed, Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai. But religion never did satisfy them. Come on. Religion never satisfied them. And religion can't satisfy us. The only thing that can satisfy us is a real priesthood. You say, well, you don't know what we've been through. You don't know what he's went through. All you got to get, it says in Amos, right in the middle of attack, if you can find just two legs or a piece of an ear, if you can find just a piece of God's word, a word from God, you can stand on those two legs. Hallelujah. Come on. Right in the middle of attack, just get two legs and a piece of an ear. If you can get a piece of God's word, if you can just get a word. Come on. One word from God could turn this whole city upside down. If you can just get a word from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, under the Levitical priesthood, you was a priest from 20, or from 30 to 50 for 20 years. Under Levitical priesthood, you had to be perfect. Well, that'd thin this crowd out here, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. Had to be perfect. Come on. You couldn't be impotent. You had to have a son. Your father had to be a priest. You couldn't be a dwarf. You couldn't be too short. I got a friend of mine, one of the most awesome preachers I ever heard, but he couldn't be a priest because he's so short, his feet is on his driver's license picture. Hallelujah. Sit on the curb and swing his feet, man. Hallelujah. I was preaching out in San Diego a while back, and I told him, I said, Pastor Larson couldn't be a priest because he's 6'8" in his stocking feet. They had to make you the garments. And then you had to go and offer a sacrifice for yourself and a sacrifice for Israel. But way back in the book of Genesis, Abraham met a man that's made us scratch our head all these years. He met a man named Melchizedek. Melech means king. Zedek means righteousness. King of righteousness. He was the city of Jerusalem. And he was the priest there. And he met Abram. And Abram paid him tithe. I think Melchizedek, I can't prove it or not prove it, but kind of like prophecy, you're shooting at a moving target. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can't prove it, but I think Melchizedek was probably the son of Shem, the righteous branch that was passed down. And Abraham paid him tithes. And Melchizedek said, let me bring you something, Abe. And he brought him bread and wine. He was preaching Jesus to him. And Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced in it. He was preaching Jesus. That the Levitical priesthood was going to come, the Mosaic precepts. And way back here, God helped that Melchizedek priesthood in suspension until they could step off the scene. And when they stepped off the scene, and he cried, Asach in the Hebrew, Tetelesti in the Greek, it's finished. And the Holy Spirit was outpoured. The Melchizedek priesthood stepped up. Come on. It's not 20 to or 30 to 50. It's an everlasting priesthood. You don't have to get garments made for you. He's clothed us. Hallelujah. You don't have to be perfect. Come on. You can be fat. You can be bald. You can be ugly. Too close to payday to be saying anything negative about my friend here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. You don't have to be perfect. Everybody that's not perfect yet, say amen. Hallelujah. And we don't have to offer a sacrifice for ourselves because he offered the sacrifice and perfected forever. Come on. Come on. now we're called to offer spiritual sacrifices, the fruit of our lips. The fruit of our lips. The fruit. There's seven compound Hebrew words for praise. Shamach and Tahalim and Kebed and Halal and seven. But there's only one word for worship, and it's Shachah. And it means to fall on your face before Him. Hallelujah. Demons fell before Him. Come on, an unemployed rabbi that didn't even have a synagogue. Demons fell before Him. Demons fell before Him. The storm laid at His feet and licked His hand like a puppy. Disease laid down in front of Him. You know why? Because He was the mighty God wrapped in flesh. Hallelujah. And true worship is not getting up here and booking around and doing the two-step. And that's praise. Come on. We're good praisers, but we're not real good worshipers, because praise is because of what He's done, and worship is because of who He is. I was out in the backyard a while back. I've got 3.5 acres south of Little Rock, and I got timber on it because I like to get out. I've got me a what do you call those saws you cut timber with? Chainsaw. I got me a chainsaw. They said it'd cut a cord of wood a day. And I couldn't cut a cord of wood, and I took it back, and I said, I want my money back already. And he said, what's wrong with it? I said, it won't cut a cord of wood. And he pulled that rope, and I said, what's that noise, man? Hallelujah. I was outside. I like to go out there and work in the yard, and I could see my wife schlepping around up in there, and God was talking to me about praise and worship. And God said, call your wife to the door and tell her you love her and you appreciate her and thank her for all she does. I said, yo, hey, mama. She come to the door, and I said, I love you. Thank you for mowing the grass and raking the leaves and changing the oil and sending this letter to Cunningham, this letter to so-and-so, and put this up. And she said, okay, Mahaney. That's what she called me in our tender moments, Mahaney. Okay, Mahaney. Hallelujah. So I'm back out there, and God said, now walk up on the deck, go in the house, put your arms around her, and hug her, and give her a kiss. He said, that's the difference between praise and worship. You can worship from praise from way back here, but you've got to get up close to worship. Come on. And I said, I understand. He said, no, I want you to go put your arms around your wife and hug her and give her a kiss. And I'm going to tell you what, man, when I got a mandate from God to get some lip, I'm gone. Come on. Can you guys remember that? Hallelujah. So I walked in, and there's our grandbaby, and I said, come here, Lucky, hallelujah. She said, leave me alone, man. The grandbaby's watching. I said, she needs to see that Papa loves Grandma. And I put my arms around her and kissed her, and God said, that's the difference between praise and worship. You can't worship from way back there. You've got to get up close to worship. Come on. I said, you can only worship to the revelation you have of me. We got revelation because our grandfather was oneness and our great-grandfather was oneness and our parents were oneness. We need to ask God in these last trembling moments, my God, give us a revelation of who you are that I can worship you like I've never worshiped you before in my life. Come on. God wants a people that will worship Him. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You're not going to worship God in this mountain or Jerusalem, but you're going to worship Him in truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say praise the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord. Come on, everybody say praise the Lord. Say, I worship you. Say, I worship you because you're everlasting to everlasting. Say, I worship you because you're the Ancient of Days. Say, I worship you because you're omnipresent. I worship you because of your omnipotence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody showed me a video the other day of a messianic service. Jews that have come to believe that Jesus or Yeshua is the Mashiach, the Messiah. And I was watching it and had all the little pretty little Jewish girls up there, and they had hula hoops and, you know, singing and boogieing. And I thought, that's pretty cool. And all of a sudden the camera moved back here, and there was a little Pentecostal woman that got in there. She had her hair pulled back in that Dot, she had her hands raised. It seemed like everybody in the place was looking at her. And I sat back and God spoke to me and said, he said, my throne is the focal point. My throne is the center of all creation and all the universe. And he said, I've got perfected praise constantly. I've got perfected praise around me all the time. He said, I've got seraphim. Seraph in the Hebrew means burn. Im means burners. They just burn with worship. He said, I've got cherubim. They're the guardians of God's holiness. He said, I've got 420 elders. You'll be able to see when you get to heaven because every once in a while they got pavement marks. They just fall down on their forehead every once in a while and worship him. I didn't put it in there. It's in there. Come on. And God said, I've got perfected praise. And all of a sudden, God just lifts his hand and the perfected praise stops. The angels have never dropped a vowel or dangled a participle. And the perfected praise stops. And there comes praise from some old boy that's going through a trial and his kids are some mama fighting for a daughter. And God said, hold it, that's the praise I'm looking for. Come on. There's no praise like somebody that's in their Gethsemane and they're going through a crisis and come on, and they're in the oil press. Hallelujah. Come on, that's when you learn how to worship. I was riding along with a preacher in his car and we're riding along and he's got his little kids sitting there between us in the front seat. And the little kid looks at me and says, yada, yada, yada. And I said, what's he saying already? And the kid says, or the dad says, he said, it's hot in the car. He wants a Coke. When's Mahaney going home? I couldn't get that out of yada, yada, yada. I think it was the dad wanted me to go home. He was afraid I was going to get him up, make him worship some night. Hallelujah. And I said, say that again, Bubba. And he said, yada, yada, yada. I said, now tell me what he said. He said, it's hot in the car. He wants a soda. And when's Brother Mahaney going home? I said, how did you get all that? And he said, from the child's mouth to the father's ear, it's interpreted by intent. I said, good God Almighty. And he said, what's wrong? I said, now I know why. When those kids begin to worship him in the temple, they said, shut those kids up. Jesus said, don't you shut them up, because out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, I have perfected praise. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. It don't have to sound right. It could be from an Arkansasian. You might say, ain't Kate pert near it. Come on. But God wants our praise and God wants our worship. And when we get up close enough to worship him, we become priests and God will move heaven and earth for his priesthood. Come on. Come on, move in close to him now. Come on, we've sat back on this Friday night and we've cruised a little bit and we had a good start. And now let's move in close. We've praised. Now let's move in where we can worship him. Touch someone beside you and say, the reason you're here. They're always whacking the Jews. Always whacking the Jews. My grandson and I were watching a video the other night about the bubonic plague and how it devastated Europe and how that it came in on the rats carried it in. And on the rats were lice that caused people to die. So thousands were dying. So somebody said, let's kill some Jews. Well, the Jews rejected him. One guy told me, said, the Jews have a curse on them. And I said, why? And they said, let his blood be on our heads and our children's heads. I said, what did the Messiah say? He said, Father, forgive him. I said, you trouble chump. You're listening to the mob instead of the Messiah. You better wake up every morning of your life and thank God that the Jews rejected this. Or your little Gentile hide wouldn't be sitting there schmoozing around. Come on. But just as sure as the Jews stepped away, Paul said in the 9th, 10th, 11th chapter of the book of Romans, that they're going to come back. 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 Now listen to me. The Jews don't need the Christians to be Jews. But we need the Jews to be Christians because they're the root of this thing. And we're priests. And God said, give me that ephod. And God wrapped it around people and hung it over them at Pentecost. An everlasting priesthood. The people would lift their hands, and worship him. And the only reason you're here tonight is because God wants you to be a witness and to be a priest before him. Lift your hands up and say, God, here's my incense censers. Go lift your hands and say, God, here's my incense censers. Well, I feel an anointing. I feel a special anointing on this service. Hallelujah. When we went to the Temple Institute, many of you have been there. Chaim Richman showed us through the first time. Chaim Richman and Ari Israel, the two rabbis there. And on the incense censer, made out of pure gold, had a bell on top of it. And they'd ring, and Chaim said they would ring that bell because they was announcing to the Father, we're coming into your presence. But listen to this. They never took the incense out of the censer and put it on the fire. They poured the incense in their hand and put it on their fire, because God doesn't receive worship from an instrument. He received worship from his people. And when those priests, now listen to me, when those priests on the holidays came out of the Kodesh HaKodeshim, and they came out after they had ignited that, it was like flying in a fog. You ever flown and be in a fog where you couldn't see outside? That priest threw that incense on there, and he was in a fog of the glory of God. Hallelujah. And when he came out, he didn't have to go over and say, hey, Shlomo, hey, Moshe, I've been in the presence of God. Because the presence of God permeated him so much. It was in his beard. It was in his clothes. They said as high as 7 days that the priest could walk by. 7 days and you could smell that incense behind him when he walked by. Come on. We just need to get in his presence so much and offer sacrifice in his presence that when you walk in Walmart, people will say, what is it I felt about you? Come on. Things permeate us. He was giving me the nickel tour of end time today, and we walked in there and somebody said, you guys ate Mexican food today. Hallelujah. It was permeating us. Come on. God wants to come on his New Testament priesthood. We need to get into spiritual evangelism. The people will stop you and say, what is that I feel about you? Holy Ghost just spoke to me and said, I've got people that are going to drive up and down this highway in the next few months. And every time they drive by here, they're going to feel something coming out from this place. And it's going to draw them in here. And when they walk in here and they walk in the service, the first thing they're going to do is stop and say, what is this I feel? And they're not going to know what it is, but we're going to know it's because we've been in the incense and we're the New Testament priesthood. Come on, worship him. Come on, lift your hands. Come on, lift those censers to him. Hallelujah. Come on, worship him. Come on, worship him. Come on, worship him. Come on, priest. Come on, worship him. Come on, go into the Holy of Holies and tell that incense is like a cloud around you. Come on, we're dead center now. We're not moving off this until the Holy Spirit comes on. We're not moving off this. We have sat here since 7:30 and God's trying to pull us out. And God, your pastor recognized it. Everybody recognizes it. And God wants us to operate as New Testament priests. Come on, God wants us to walk into that Kodesh HaKodeshim, that Holy of Holies. It tried to break out when the little sister was singing the first song. It tried to get on us when the brother was singing the second song. It tried to break out when we was in the chorus. Come on, do something. Don't just sit there, stand up. move over 2 foot, but do something. Don't just sit there. A priest always had to move. The mitzrach that carried the blood in was pointed. And Haim said the reason it's pointed, because the blood can never stop. Come on, God is a moving God. Psalms 122 said, O thou that inhabitest the praises. The word inhabit there is Yashan, in the praises of Israel, in that nebulous incense, that cloudy presence. God sets up His throne, and God's able to rule if we'll initiate the incense that'll set the throne up where we can speak to God, and God will speak our words. Don't thank Him for your car or that dress or that lawnmower. I want you to worship Him. I want you to talk to Him about who He is. Come on, tell Him who He is. Come on, you're the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Rose of Sharon. You're from everlasting to everlasting God. You flung the stars to the farthest corner of the night. You caused the waters to wash up on the sands of time. I worship You. Here's the way I want us to close. I want all the gentlemen in the house, all the men in the house, I want you to come to my right side. Quickly, men. Quickly. Come on. All the men. I don't want to discuss with you where you're at spiritually. I want all the men to come to my right side. Press up close, gentlemen. All the men to come to my right side. All the men to come to my right side. Better get out of the way, guys. The ladies are coming. The mamas are coming. Hallelujah. I want all the sisters to come to my left side and be your right side, sweetheart. Come on. Don't leave your spiritual posture just because you left your physical posture. Quickly, come on. Come on, lift both hands up and share that honey with the body that you won in combat with that lion. Come on, Samson never told him where the honey come from, but he shared it with him. Come on, lift your hands up, share that honey. Come on, move up close here, girls. Move up close. Move up so people can get up. Move up so people can get up. Now listen to me. Everybody say, these signs shall follow them that believe. I am a believer. When I lay hands on, something happens. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. Say, I'm living on the right hand of God. I'm living on the right hand of God. I want our ladies to make circles here. I want you to have 5 or 7 in a circle or 8. I don't want 6, but I want our ladies to make circles. You have to take hands to do that, and the circle's got to be round. I want our brethren to make circles. Just reach over and get a... Come on. Praise God. We got 6 in this circle. I want one of you girls to join this circle. We got 6 here. One of you girls get in beside Sister Baxter. Now we only got 28 in this circle. Hallelujah. Would you come back to the instrument, please? I want two sisters to step into the middle of the circle. I want everybody to lay hands on them as a New Testament priest, and I want you to release a blessing in their life. Come on, here's what I want you to pray. Whatever you'd like to have for yourself and your family and your spirit, I want you to pray that blessing on somebody else. You understand that? That's that too elusive for you verbally? Whatever you want somebody to have help, you want somebody to have joy, you want somebody to see revival break out, you want somebody to be used in the gifts of the Spirit, then I want you to lay hands on that person and speak it into their life. Don't just pray it, speak it. Come on, priests have a right to speak something. Come on, speak it. Come on, speak it. I want you to say it out loud, gentlemen. I want you to speak it. Hey, more money. I don't need a nicer car. I need more of you. Come on, lay hands on him. Da 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 da. Two more get in. Come on, speak a blessing into their life. I want you to speak an anointing into their life. I want you to speak a touch of God into their life like they've never had. Come on, speak an anointing, a touch of God. Come on, get serious, get excited, get on fire with this.
And yet I hunger
into their life. Come on, speak it into their life.
Oh, more of you.
Oh, more of you, God. I want everybody to pray for it. Don't take all night to touch God. Just lay your hand on him and say, I'm a New Testament priest. And when I touch, things are going to open up. Things are going to get new. Things are going to begin to move. Itself.